you have your Bible with you, I'd like to draw your attention once again to the first chapter of John. I got a little email text yesterday from Carla making mention of how much she appreciates Wiseball Community Church, even while she's in Haiti. She's still having some difficulty understanding the language there, getting a whole lot of out of the services, so she logs on to home. And said it's good not only to listen to a sermon preached, but to yet understand it in English. So I think these simple means and modern means, perhaps, or avenues of technology can be a blessing to people in various places. And my baby brother has been listening in. Now that's a real shock to me. He's listening in this morning to this after a while, you know, a day or so down the road, then he may even hear me say that, huh? I want to look again here at this chapter. I'm not going to read as much as I did last Sunday, but I do want to read two verses. Last Sunday we spoke on the subject of the Word was made flesh, full of grace. Sunday before that, we were talking about mercy. This morning I want to pick up with another word that's found here. I want to read just two verses, the very first verse and the 14th verse. Why don't you stand with me as we read these two and ask the Lord for His help this morning. St. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh, full of truth. Father in heaven, for a few moments, I pray that you would give us, each one, the anointing that we need individually. Pray that you would anoint your speaker this morning. I pray that you would give me that touch that I need in my mind as well as my speech. Touch each one of us in our ears and our heart that we would be receptive to your truth. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Word was made flesh, full of truth. I had to go to the dictionary again to understand what truth was, or how to define truth. Truth is defined in one form, conformity to fact or actuality. There's another definition that comes with truth, and that is fidelity to an original or standard. Fidelity to an original or standard. But the first definition speaks about conformity to fact or actuality. Conformity to fact. Who determines what is fact? We could argue a lot of things this morning as to whether or not it's really fact. Who determined the number system? You know, we all believe and understand that 2 plus 2 equals 4. But what if we changed the value of just the first two numbers in our system? 2, 1, 3, 4. How big of a change would that make in the entirety of what we do with our numbers? What would follow number 9? Well, it'd be natural. It'd be 20. Does that seem odd? Doesn't that seem strange? 20. And so we keep going. Starting there with 22, 21, 23. Who determined the fact that 1 equals 1 and not 2 equals 1? Who determines fact? And so we can argue and argue about a lot of things as to whether or not something is really, truly fact. And so in the midst of our argument of whether or not something is fact, we are really making truth to become relative to our desires or to our needs or to our circumstances. Making truth relative to our desires or our needs or our circumstances. And when we argue about fact and when we make truth relative, it will eventually always become within our lives that truth is relative in our religious preferences. Truth will always become relative in our religious... I'm repeating myself a lot here, aren't I? I want it to sink in what I'm saying. I read an article this week about a young man. I can't recall his name. And if I say the little bit of surroundings, maybe somebody could bounce it back because you follow it more than what I do. But he's the quarterback. I think he's a Heisman Trophy quarterback for the Florida Gators, I think is who it was. I can't remember his name. But the story, the article was talking about him being a Christian, and he wasn't afraid to make known his belief of being a Christian or his feeling of being a Christian or his religious preferences of being a Christian. I guess on the field, he's very vocal. In news media interviews, he's very, very vocal about his religion, being a Christian. From what the writer was saying, the writer would consider a devout Christian. Very conscientious about his Christianity. But there was somebody who writes for a public periodical or a national public periodical who was condemning this young man for being so vocal about his religious preferences. Or just bottom line was he was being criticized because he was so vocal about being a Christian. When he ought not to do such a thing as that because some of the fans of the Gator team might not be Christian, and they might take offense to that. And so he needs to be more reserved on that note. Because if he, as a Christian, really believes the teachings of Christ, then he would have to be saying, as he's standing there in a public setting, and saying, I am a Christian, and I believe that this is the right way, then what he's saying is that there's no other way. Because Jesus said, I am the way. And so they want him to hush up a little bit about that. They want him to be a little more quiet about what he believes is truth. Let's turn over to that passage, John chapter 14. Jesus speaking there, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus had to say. Verse number 6. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now let's try to determine at least one measure of fact in these two verses here. Verses 6 or 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. What is the fact that is found here in these verses. The fact that we would find, the first fact that we would find here is the fact of God. Now, I realize this morning that I'm talking to people that understand that God is a fact. God is, in fact, God. But there are some people who would argue that fact. And when they argue that fact, what are they doing? They are making truth relative to their needs or to their desires or to their circumstances. This particular quarterback isn't concerned about that sort of thing, apparently. He believes, says that he believes that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if you have a Thompson chain, you'll notice off to the side of verse number 6 of John 14 that there's another verse that goes along with this, found over in John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 37. It brings us up into the story about Jesus standing before Pilate. He's on trial. He's in the judgment hall. He's facing his demise. Jesus has already lived his years on this earth, and he's already done so many good things, and he's already been a blessing to multitudes of people. But he's also made some enemies, brought him before Pilate. And Pilate doesn't know what to think. Pilate doesn't know what to do. Pilate's just trying to figure out how he can get out of this without having blood on his hands and without having the mob turn against him or the people turn against him. And he's just trying to figure out what to do. In verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered. Listen to what Jesus says here. "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born." We're talking about the celebration of Christ's coming. "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." What was the cause that he came into the world for? "That I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now, if you look at that verse and look at those words that Jesus is expressing there, he is pretty plain, pretty clear on what he is saying of himself. To this purpose, or for this purpose, he came the first time to bear witness to the truth. But then I can hear the question coming up from Pilate as well as from a host of people in our era today as well. What is truth? What is truth? Pilate's not the first one to ask it, and he's by far not the last one to ask that question, because this question has been asked by people in every era and in every time. What is truth? They are still asking that question today. Truth is fidelity to an original or to a standard. Now, you understand that fidelity speaks of being faithful. Faithful to an original or to a standard. Several weeks ago, Edward presented me this iPod. And one of the things that he was talking about, bringing up the level of the iPod in people's mind or in my mind or whatever, was the level. There's a level on here. And when he placed it on the pulpit, we noticed that the pulpit wasn't level. It was actually quite unlevel. I don't know if he did it on the side to see if it was plumb. It's not plumb either. It's just not really too good here. Well, one of the things that we noticed about this thing, or in asking Edward about it later, about it being so far out of level, was because the iPod leveling system had never been calibrated to a standard. Now you know where I'm going, don't you? So one day, Jonathan was playing with my iPod, as is often the case, and he took it to the garage, or he went out to the garage and got a level off the wall and brought it into the house and laid it on the counter, and he made sure that it was level, and then he took the iPod and set it. I think that's what happened anyway, because the level was still there when I got home, and my iPod was there too. And he took the iPod and he laid it on top of that level and he hit that button that calibrates it. And so at that point, then the level system in this iPod was accurate. It needed to be brought up to standard, faithful to a standard. But that brings me to another question. Who determines what is level? You see, I got a brand new level a number of years, one of those nice 4-foot wooden ones made by Sterrett. Now, if you know Sterrett, Sterrett's not something that you buy at Walmart. Sterrett's not something you buy at Lowe's. It's Sterrett is, Adam, you know what Sterrett is, don't you? That's more technical than what Walmart would sell, wouldn't it be? First time I used it on a deck. Air nailer. Through the wood and right out the side of that level. Bad deal. What if I calibrated this thing to that level? Well, let's just recalibrate it right now. Okay, I'm going to have the bubble out your way. And let's see here. That looks level, so I'll hit the calibration button. Well, I'm a little different than what it was. But you see, in my eye, from my vantage point, that looks pretty level. Do you think it looks level? Well, if I quit shaking, huh? So I calibrate it to what I think is level. And from that point on, everything I do, every building I build, or every piece of picture stuff I hang on the wall there for my wife, everything I do according to that level, because I say that that is level. And so I've calibrated my leveling system by what I believe is level. And so you come to the house and you see that great big picture hanging on the wall. And you're thinking, when you go back home, you say to your wife or you say to your husband, they don't know how to hang pictures. What do you mean we don't know how to hang? That's level. Just depends on who's determining what level is. Now we know that that's so crazy. It's just as crazy as changing the value system to 2, 1, 3. 2,